Numbers chapter 11, verses 16 and 17. The Lord's Answer, part 1. The people have been groaning and murmuring and craving food and grumbling at Moses and despising the manna and so on. And Moses has reached the end of his tether and he's cried out to God. He's cried out in agony. And of course he's gone over the top. The darkness has been too much for him. And he really has reached the end of his tether. Now the Lord comes to him and answers him. He doesn't reprove him. He doesn't rebuke him. He just comes with a strong, positive command. I was say suggestion, but it's stronger than that. It's an ordinance for Moses. The Lord said to Moses, the Lord comforts him by giving him practical advice. Bring me 70 of Israel's elders who are known to you as leaders and officials among the people. Make them come to the tent of meeting, that they may stand there with you. I will come down and speak with you there, and I will take of the spirit that is on you and put the spirit on them. They will help you carry the burden of the people, so that you will not have to carry it alone. Numbers 11, 16 to 17. You can see the wisdom of this, the compassion of this. This job is too big for one man. One man can't run this show. God is sovereign, of course, but he uses agents, he uses men, and Moses is in command and over this people. 2.5 million. It's an enormous task. The tabernacle, the apparatus, the food, the daily care, the protection of this people, the guidance of them. Of course God is sovereign, but this man has his duties and he just can't cope with it. And God is gracious. It's too much for one man. And this is not God's order that one man should run the show. Now, as you know, as I've said many times, the fathers were coming now to the days of the New Covenant, the 2nd, 3rd and 4th centuries. The fathers went back to the Old Covenant and drew Old Covenant principles and brought them into the church, the ecclesia, priesthood, sacerdotalism, robes and vestments and places, temples, buildings, basilicas and so on. All that kind of stuff, Old Covenant stuff. And it's been a ruination for the church for the past 1800 years or so, and it's still with us. The Church of Rome is an Old Covenant church. The Church of England is a patristic church, which means it's an Old Covenant church. It's got New Covenant principles, yes, but it's Old Covenant in its way of organization and so on. And many nonconformist churches have been one-man pastorates and so on for centuries. It all comes from the fathers. Of course, today, there has been a tremendous movement into eldership. But you remember what John Milton said in the days of the Puritan, when the Presbyterians got their hands on power, and instead of priests, they brought in presbyters. But you remember what Milton said, presbyter is old priest writ large. He's changed the name, but it hasn't changed anything. And I think in many places there is still this hierarchy of system, Old Covenant system. The New Covenant, Ephesians chapter 4, for example, there's always a multiplicity of elders, equal elders, those responsible together for the leadership of the people. This is what we need today. Moses needed it, and God was gracious to him to give him these elders. Elders, that speaks of maturity. But let's be clear about elders. They must be mature men in the churches. They must, yes. They must have gifts, yes. They must have experience, yes. They must have wisdom, yes. There are many things they need. It's all set out in Scripture. But one thing they need, as Moses found, as God provided here, as God ordered here, the Spirit. He took the Spirit that was on Moses and gave the Spirit to these men. And if there's one thing we need today in the churches, in the eldership, in the preaching, teaching ministry of the church, it is the power of the Spirit. Oh, we've got our BDs here, we've got our theology courses, we've got our colleges, we've got our academic studies, we've got this and that and the other. We've got all these systems in place. No, no, my friend, we need the Spirit and the power of the Spirit. We need men who are anointed by the Spirit, driven by the Spirit, powerful in the Spirit. 1 Corinthians 2:4. I didn't come among you, says Paul, with eloquence. I didn't come among you with rhetoric and learning. I was determined to know nothing but Jesus Christ and him crucified. And I came to you in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, in the Spirit's power. That's what we need today. Not only in the pulpit, but in the eldership and throughout the churches. We need the anointing of God's Spirit. It grieves me. You know what I'm going to say. It grieves me. We are today, the evangelical churches are replacing the Spirit with systems. We are setting up schemes instead of the Spirit. We need the Spirit of God upon us in power. We got techniques. There are whole schools of thought now, whole system, training for these cloning, for this kind of system of preaching. No, my friend, God's preachers are often eccentric, but they have the Spirit. They might be unlearned in the world sense. I'm not appealing for a lack of learning, but it's not learning that will do it. It's not age that will do it. It's not a man's competence in the bank or in the business house or the school will do it. No, no, no. It's the man's gift and ability and calling by the Spirit of God. We need the Spirit and the demonstration of the Spirit and of power. I will come down and speak with you there, and I will take of the Spirit that is on you and put the Spirit on them. There's the great essential. There's the great necessity. Whatever else we must have the Spirit. That is God's answer to Moses, part one anyway. And what an answer. And my friend, it's the thing that we need today. What? The gift and power and anointing of the Holy Spirit. Not by might, not by power, systems, but by my Spirit, says the Lord. That's what we need. May God grant it to us, this power by the Spirit, for Christ's sake. Amen.